Today on Real Radio.
And what the Bible speaks to us about is, as Christians, we are all servant leaders. And that's a great thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the first 14 verses of chapter 4, Paul goes a little bit deep. He starts off the section describing believers as servants and stewards. In other words, the believer is called to be a giver, not a taker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called, How Can We Serve You?
Why are you here? To be real Christians in an age like this, to make a real difference, to change the world and culture around you. Jesus said, be faithful in that thing that I've given you to do. And every Christian is to be faithful in something. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what that something is. Guess what? I can give you the Word of God. We have pastors on staff to disciple you, and we have ministries for you to get involved in. But we cannot make you do something. We wouldn't make you do something. We want you to talk to God. We want you to pray. We want you to speak to Him. And guess what? He'll tell you what to do. That's what God does. He tells Christians what their marching orders are. What is it that you are to be rowing at? I'm not going to mention a certain person's name I have in my mind. Lisa and I were talking about her last night. She's faithful at this church, I think, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks after this church started, back in the warehouse down the street. And every Sunday you can find her, a volunteer at the copier machine, serving without a voice, without a complaint, serving Jesus, faithful to Jesus. And the chairs, when you came in this morning, they're straight. The carpet, vacuumed, windows done. Listen, staff members don't do this. That's done by volunteers who faithfully, without a name, without cameras, without lights, serve in this body. And they're faithful. And so Paul would say to us today, what are you faithful in? What thing is it in your life that the church needs you to do? It's my prayer that all of us who can raise our hands as Christians can also raise our hands as servants, as huperades, those that are serving, sometimes even unnoticed, below the belly of the ship, serving that others might be blessed and that this ship might be underway. The Roman centurion met Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 9, he says, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." Listen to that. "And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus goes on to say, this is great faith. That centurion understood that. The centurion was under order by Rome. He turns and speaks to another, and Jesus said, man, that's awesome, because I'm under the authority of my Father, and I turn to my disciples, and they do it. And that centurion, Gentile, got it. Huperades, being faithful. How so? Number one, this way, faithful to the commitment. Is there a commitment in your life that you're faithful to? In verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards. And you want to ask yourself this question, what is it in my life that I will answer to God about, that I will give to Him about, that one may be found faithful? I want you to underline verse 2. That should be personally up front and foremost in your life, lived daily. If you have to put it on your mirror, honestly do it. Print it out and tape it onto your car, whatever it takes. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, says Paul. That almost sounds arrogant. Paul says, I'm not listening to you and I'm not even listening to me. Of course, it's not arrogance that he's talking about. Listen, church, listen. He's talking about a commitment that he knows about that God has laid on his shoulder. To live a life that he's required to be faithful to it. This is what God's called me to do. Can you say that? You want to be able to say that. And when it comes, by the way, look what he says. He says, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. He's telling the Corinthians, it doesn't matter what you guys think of me, Paul is saying to them. It's invalid. It's a small thing. And he says, it's a small thing that I should be judged by a human court. Why? You guys, do we not all have opinions and judgments on matters and issues? Of course we do. We're humans. We live in a dangerous age right now. People can get on the internet and judge you, and you won't even know about it. They can say all manner of evil against you, and you may never know. And here's the big thing now. People are taking pictures of you, and they're taking your face and putting your face on the body of someone else and then uploading it to the universe with your name on it. So that's not happening to me. How do you know? We live in an evil age, a dangerous age. See, why do you bring that up? Because humans, we have no capability of clearly judging anything. God is the ultimate judge, so much so that Paul the Apostle says, I don't even judge myself. You see, man, that sounds kind of arrogant. Well, first of all, let's be honest. First of all, there is never a shortage of judges when it comes to a ministry. I mean, let's be honest. There's no shortage of volunteers when it comes to judge and stuff. Here's what Paul says. I can't be moved by that. That's what he's saying. Church, listen. This is for your strengthening. He says, you can't be moved by that. You guys, when someone comes up and criticizes you, how do you deal with it? Are you so committed to Jesus that the criticism, though it may sting brutally, you've got to take it and put it behind you? Are you listening? Yeah, but are you guys listening over there? That you're so committed to what he's called you to do. That when somebody says, you talk too short. I've never heard that one for me, but you talk too long. Or this, or you talk too fast. Or some lady wrote me a letter. Maybe you're here today. And she wrote me a letter. She goes, I can't listen to you anymore. I didn't even ask you to listen to me. First of all. She said, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of your voice any longer. Ma'am, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of my voice any longer. I don't like the way, I didn't sign up for this. Wouldn't you, I would love to sound like, who's that guy that was Darth Vader? James Earl Jones. Wouldn't that be great? Or Sean Connery, talking like Sean Connery. Better turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. It's like, no, I got this squeaky Kermit the Frog voice. I know that. I hear it all the time. What is that supposed to prove? I can't do anything about that. But I tell you this, the only confidence I have is the commitment that Christ has called me to. And for you, you want to say, you know, Pastor, I want that. You want to hear from the Lord and be used in the body of Christ. All of you, imagine there's enough people in this room right now to completely change the state of California. To come or leave, get out of this church and be so absolutely understanding. This is my commitment to Christ. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm not going to win a popularity contest. Get that in your mind and throw it out right now. You will not win. Well, Pastor, I'm going for Miss California. Listen, you may be beautiful, but listen, the moment you open your mouth, someone's going to attack you. Ask Carrie, what's her name? Prejean. You're going to get in trouble. She said, well, I'm not going to go for that. I'm just going to sit in the corner by myself. Listen, if you take a stand for Jesus, you're going to get it. Here's the cool thing. I'd rather get it in this world than get it up there when it's all over. And here's the thing. You want to be committed and Lord, here we go. And you're being my leader and my guide and my provider. So here we go, Lord. Commitment. And Paul says, listen, I love all you Corinthians, but your judgment on my life, it's flawed, he is saying. Nobody knows the heart but the Lord. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 says, "For I do not persuade men. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Paul's desire was to please the Lord. Christian, today, your desire, if it's to please God, listen, you're going to win. Every time. Now, I understand the context of what Paul is saying. He's speaking to the Corinthian church about leadership. But he's also, in a very powerful way, speaking to the leadership of the Corinthian church. And what the Bible speaks to us about is, as Christians, we are all servant leaders. And that's a great thing. Second thing is this: confidence. Being faithful. Faithful to be confident. You see, are you sure you worded that right? Yes, I did. Faithful to the confidence. You see, church, listen. Where is our confidence? Is it in us? Or is it in Christ? And you know what that's like. Paul is saying, I want you to know that. Confidence, being in Jesus. The word actually implies that we have the confidence to stand before Jesus. Now, this is good stuff. Listen to this. Look at verse 4 and 5. He says, "For I know of nothing against myself." Can you highlight that, please, in your Bible? Tonight, when you lay your head down. God is so good. I always love to say it this way. In fact, I just said it, I think, on Wednesday night. I'll say it again. There are some people who say, Christians will say, "I never heard God speak to me." Yes, you have. "No, I haven't, and I'm really feeling insecure about it." No, you've heard him speak to you. Remember, you were going 85 in that 30-mile-an-hour zone? He was speaking to you. Do you remember when you had that angry thought in your head? He was speaking to you, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. When you lay your head down at night and you say, "Lord, will you right now..." Listen, church, are you listening? This is critical. It's critical for your spiritual health, and it's a great way to fall asleep. Some people get all offended. "Oh, God, I'm so sorry I fell asleep praying to you last night." I think the Lord loves to have you fall asleep praying to him. It's better than watching Oprah or whatever else, some stupid TV show. What do you fall... Talk to God and fall asleep. And you, "Lord, examine my heart right now. What today? Have I offended anyone? Have I done anything that is against your word? Have I offended your spirit, Lord? Search my heart." Church, listen, do this every day. Do this every day. You lay down at night, "Lord, are we okay? Speak to me, Father." Let me tell you something, right? You do that, and you will never have to worry what people think, because your approval will come from heaven. And you will be free, and you will be liberated, and you will be confident, because you know where your commitment lies. And you will be a normal Christian. Did you realize that if we read the book of Acts and get to the level of being normal, we will be radical? We're so far from normal in our Western world of Christianity that normal to us is radical. If we were normal, if we were Bible-believing, Bible-living, Bible-filled Christians, we would be normal. There's that confidence. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching." How does that happen? Paul is telling Timothy, be confident. He says, "For I know nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this." Look at this. Here's the key, church. Verse 4 and 5, he makes this announcement that he who judges me, says Paul, is the Lord. The Lord's the judge. When you read the Bible, here's the funny thing. When you read the Bible convicts you, does it not, when you read it? Huh? You're reading it, it's like, yikes. Have we not been going through Ezekiel in our daily Bible reading? Man, is that not like reading the United... It's like a book. It's like a... This is all about America. This current reading, we're going through Ezekiel. It's like, this is about Ezekiel 9. Oy vey. Wow. I mean, that's like the U.S. 3,000-year-old book. It's like it was written today about us. And you read it and you go, "Oh, Lord, have mercy." And then if you're not a Christian... See, the word judges us. It has the authority to do that. But if you are a backslidden Christian, you're not walking with God, and somebody comes up to you, a Christian who loves you, comes up and says, "Hey, I've been praying for you, Bubbles, and you shouldn't be sleeping with that guy. You need to get back to the Lord." You know what we hear as pastors, and the women's ministry hears this all the time? "I can't believe you're judging me. You're so unloving. I can't believe it. Why am I unloving? It says right here, as a brother or a sister, you're not married to Freddie. You shouldn't be sleeping with Fred." Now look, if your name is Bubbles in here and Fred and you guys, I'm telling you, God's speaking to you. But nobody gave me your name before service. I'm just telling you. See, when the word of God comes out of the mouth and it's the word, you shouldn't be doing this. People will often say, "You're judging me." No. The word of God judges us. Paul says, "I'm committed to the word of God judging my life." Why? In the end, we'll stand before the word of God named Jesus. He's going to take a look. Can you imagine? A moment ago, could you have raised your hand saying you're a Christian? Guess what? We're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to walk up and take a look at us. Can you imagine? It's coming. It's coming. Are you a Christian? Yes. That day's coming. Now, just hang on a minute. He knows the intent of our hearts, says the Bible. That could be good or bad. The cool thing is, when we stand before the Lord as Christians, we can't fail the test in the sense of wrong answer, to hell you go. Door opens up and down. It's not going to happen that way. You're a Christian. You're in heaven. You're being judged for why you did what you did for the Lord. Your salvation's secure. Now, there's going to be, I'm certain this is going to happen in my life. I'm going to be thinking, "Oh man, when the Lord examines this, when he opens up this box, it's going to be good for me." Because I know, man, that was a cool thing. And that thing happened. Yeah. Jesus opens the box and just shuts it, moves on to the next thing. I was like, "Lord, what's the deal? Come on, that was cool." Then he's going to go to a box and I'm thinking, uh-oh. He's going to open up that box and he's going to look at it, a smile on his face. He's going to close the lid and he's going to say, "Jack, you know, you didn't even know that I was interested in that thing. And you did that unselfishly. You did that for me. You didn't even realize it. It blessed my heart. It put a smile on my face. And I dug that." And that's, you get an A for that one. Right there. You don't know your motives all the time. We want to say, well, "I'm going to go sign up." Why are you signing up? Because I want my name on the list. Do you plan on showing up? "No, I'm just going to sign up." You guys, we have a lot of people sign up. Few people show up. I mean, I'm telling you, that's how it is. You shouldn't say that in church, Pastor Jack. No, that's how it is. You have 500 people sign up to clean up after an event, and 20 show up. That's the way it is. What'd you sign up for? "I want my name on the list." God knows the motive. Then there are people who don't sign up and show up. You tell me which one blesses God. I should move on, huh? Before it kind of gets any quieter in here. Listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 20. It's one of the most moving moments of the book of Acts, certainly, and of Paul's life. He's older now. He's heading off. Not far from this utterance, he'll head to Rome. He'll die. And he's speaking to the Ephesian elders, the pastors of Turkey. He's on the beach. He's getting ready to get on a boat. And in verse 26 of chapter 20, he says, "Therefore I testify to you this day." Listen to him. He sounds kind of corny, huh? He's with a bunch of peers, pastors, the elders. "Hey, gather around, everybody." "Yeah, Paul, what's up?" "I'm leaving." "Okay." "Yeah, well, I want all you guys to raise your right hand." "Yeah, what's he doing? What's the big deal?" He says, "I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." He's not, this guy, this is awesome. This is convicting. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Do you know what that means? He didn't fluff any sermons or messages. He taught them didasco, verse by verse. He taught them the Old Testament, verse by verse. I didn't pull any punches. I told you the happy verses and the not so happy verses. I told you about heaven and I told you about hell. So therefore, verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, which among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, protectors, defenders, feeders, and shepherd. Take care of the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Don't you love the way Paul talks? Hey, you bunch of yahoos. I'm leaving. I'm going to go to Rome, get my head cut off. You guys are going to continue on the work. You better remember something. You better be ready to lay down your life for them. That's how you can serve them. And always remember this. It ain't your church. It was bought by the blood of Jesus. And you remember that when you serve them. You remember that when they're in need. You remember that when they're hurting. You remember that when they've got problems. They're covered in his blood. It's not your blood. It's his blood. And so, you better put yourself in the place of being not the top level rower. That's easy up there. But the bottom level rower, where you're condemned to death and you're getting, you know what I mean. He says, that's the ministry. I don't know what you think, but you probably come here, because I remember sitting at Calvary Costa Mesa. I remember sitting there thinking, man, this guy's got a cool job. Pastor Chuck walks out. He just smiles. First of all, people just showed up to see him smile. Chuck Smith would show up and he would teach the Bible and he makes it look so easy. I remember when this church was starting, I went and talked to them. I said, Pastor Chuck, will I ever get over this vomitous feeling I have that I want to vomit every time I get ready to teach the Bible? And he goes, nope. And I go, do you ever feel like the message is just completely flopping? And he goes, oh. And then I'll look at the clock and I'll see 20 more minutes of this feeling. It's so true.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called How Can We Serve You? It's really a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul declares that we as believers are servants and stewards. In other words, believers are called to be givers, not takers. Again, the title, How Can We Serve You? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember that if you're enjoying and really benefiting from Real Radio, let Pastor Jack know about it, would you? You can visit us at realradioactive.org and then click on the button that says Radio Reaction. Type in your message to Pastor Jack. He loves to hear from listeners. You can also read what others have written, like this one. Dear Pastor Jack, I was blessed by your series called What Christians Believe. I listen to Real Radio during my newspaper route, and it's a good way to start my days off with such inspiring words. It's caused me to examine my walk with Jesus and really allow him to take control of my life in all aspects. The listener continues, I look forward to hearing the program every day as it shines a bright light on my faith. God bless and continue to use your ministry to affect both believers and non-believers to strive for a full relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on Radio Reaction. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.